Blog Talk Radio.
Today you can claim the life you were meant to have. This is All the Way In Radio. I'm your host, Deborah E. Lake, and I'm here to help you recognize, claim, and live fully in your life. It's easy to find people who will tell you you can't, but success and happiness only come when we reject you can't and fully embrace I can. The philosophical foundation for All the Way In can be summed up in the advice of my father, who told me to let the words of my critics roll away like water from a duck's back. So clear your mind and open your heart. Enjoy it. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, world. How are you? This is All the Way In Radio. I'm your host, Deborah E. Lake, and I've got a great show for you tonight. We're continuing our month-long series for Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. This is the day, and we have some couples who are going to talk with us. As you know, we're focusing on LGBT couples and singles. And tonight, I'm here with let's see who we have here. We have Nancy Jerominski. Hello?
Yes.
Hi. And your partner?
Hi.
Your partner is in
the other room.
From Washington State. And we have Todd Carter. Todd? Hello? Hi. Well, maybe not. Todd? I see you on my switchboard, but if you can hear me, call back, because sometimes we have a little trouble getting people on the switchboard, okay? So we're going to just start the conversation. How are you? Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
And your partner?
Are you talking to me? Are you talking to Nancy?
Okay. Nancy, and you are?
Okay, I'm not sure who you're talking to, Deborah.
Okay.
Are you talking to me?
And you're Nancy, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and your partner's name. I don't know your partner's name. That's
Barbara. Her name is Barbara.
Barbara, okay. Hi, mm-hmm. Barbara.
She's actually in the other room. She's not on the line with me, but she is in the other room.
Oh, okay. Well, so how are things going with you?
Oh, fine. We're up in, we, in fact, are at Guaymas Island in Washington State enjoying the long weekend. So we've just been having a quiet weekend together, celebrating, well, we'll be together 14 years in June, but that's what we're doing. We're just hanging out and being quiet with our dogs.
That is great. 14 years, mm-hmm. That's a long time. That's a long time.
It doesn't seem like it. It seems like we just, you know, we always talk about that, how it seems like we just met each other. It just doesn't seem like 14 years has gone by. It blows us away.
I know. It does go by fast.
It does.
So I wanted to start by you telling us how you two met.
We met each other in a bar out dancing years ago. I don't drink anymore, but at the time I was.
Mm-hmm.
And both of us like to dance, and we just happened to meet at a bar one night. Our birthdays were 3 weeks apart. We didn't know that at the time, but that's where we met, out dancing.
Wow. And, you know, that kind of goes against the odds. People you meet in bars, usually you don't stay with 12 years, 14
I know, that's,
years.
No, I know. That's what's exactly. We certainly, neither one of us were looking for any kind of a relationship at the time. I had just come out of a bad one. She had just come out of a bad one. And both of us at the time realized, you know, rebounding isn't a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we had no intention of getting involved with each other. We were just going to go out. And it just sort of, you know, it happened. So I've been very happily with each other for this long period of time and found that we just really get along Well, so yeah, it's totally against the odds that that would happen.
that's a great thing, though. Tell me what you did for Valentine's Day the first time you were together, first year you were together.
I'm trying to remember what we did. Barb, do you remember what we did the first Valentine's Day? I think we just probably stayed home. She may have been away on. She was in the military at the time, so she may have been away on her reserves. I don't remember what we did the first Valentine's Day. Probably we stayed home.
What was the first Valentine's that you remember?
Oh, geez, you're going to put me on the spot. I mean, I remember every Valentine's Day because we get each other cards all the time, you know. And we usually, I can tell you what we usually do is we usually stay home and make dinner. You know, we make really good food ourselves, so we sort of treat each other special all the time. But on things, you know, days like Valentine's Day, Barbara and I usually get each other, she always gets me a card. Sometimes I forget, which is kind of, you know,
that kind of answers what you're doing to this year is staying home and having a nice quiet time together, right?
We actually, what we did was, we live in Seattle, SeaTac, Washington, but we drove about an hour north and got on a ferry, and we're at a place called Gwaines Island, which is really kind of rustic and overlooking Puget Sound, you know, no TV, kind of quiet, making our own dinner. So that's how we prefer to spend special days.
Sounds
quiet.
Good.
Am I on here?
Hello?
Hi, this is
Todd.
Kristen Messer.
Kristen, hi.
Hi.
Beth, okay. Beth, how are you? Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome to the show. We're just talking about how we met partners and what you did the first time you remember or your first Valentine's. Do you have anything to share? How did you and your partner meet?
What's interesting is we also met in a bar.
I need to get out to bars more.
And I had really put no. I thought, well, I'm never going to meet someone in a bar, you know, that's worth their weight in salt. But it actually happens, and we know two other couples that happened with as well.
How long have you been together?
It'll be 5 years September.
Wow, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Two couples and two couples went against the odds. Maybe the odds are different now. It could be, you know.
Might not
be like they were. So what did you do? Pardon me?
I was just going to say maybe it's because neither one of us were looking for it. I certainly wasn't looking for love in a bar. And it just, I think that's when it happens is when we're not looking.
Yeah.
You know, we
end
up trying so hard.
Yep.
Yeah.
No matter where you are. When you're not looking
right.
And when you're ready. That's the other thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to be ready. I myself took myself out of the game, so to speak, for 3 years and just spent time working on myself and investing in me. And then it was shortly after I said, okay, I think I'm ready for this, that I met my partner.
You know, it's interesting because one of the questions that I ask everybody in this series that I've been asking people is what do you do if you're single and you're looking to meet? And the one thing that is consistent is to work on yourself. Everybody says that same thing. That's good advice, too. Let's see. What are you doing? What did you do your first Valentine's, the first one you remember?
The one I really remember, we went to a restaurant here. I'm in Portland, Oregon, and we went to a restaurant and had splurged on the expensive dinner and had the best Valentine's Day dinner we've had. And it was just the food was just incredible. The prime rib just melted in your mouth. And
wow, yeah.
It's very, very memorable.
Yeah.
I agree with Barbara. No,
Nancy.
Oh, Nancy.
Nancy.
Yes.
That it's very true. It's that's one of the things as far as keeping a relationship alive or staying interested in each other. I mean I've fallen down on my part of doing it, but leaving notes or a card just because, and not just on holidays like Valentine's Day, is important.
Yeah. I was reading an article, I think in the New York Times, where they had a list of things that, or signs that your relationship might be heading down the path to oblivion, and one of them is you don't spend time maintaining the relationship, the little small things that you just don't see any kind of energy in that, or the energy is dwindling. So yeah, it's important.
Well, Barbara and I spend, you know, we have a tremendous amount of respect for each other. We like each other, and we don't take each other for granted. Every day there's, you know, lots of "I love you, honeys," and "thank you for doing that," and "I appreciate." And it's not forced, it just is. Both of us, I don't know where I got it from. It wasn't certainly something I learned in my family. But Barbara has, so I think that's really important in relationships. And I don't, doesn't matter if you're gay or straight, but if that, I think that basic respect and appreciation for the person isn't there, I don't know how it can survive relationships.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to take a quick break, very short. And when we come back, I want you to share some thoughts about what Valentine's Day in particular means to you. Just share some thoughts about that, okay?
Okay, sure.
We'll be right back.
Isn't that John and Rachel over there?
I thought they broke up.
Broke up? When?
A while back. John looks good.
Why wouldn't he? Who told you they broke up?
Rachel did.
Well, maybe she was just talking, venting.
No, Rachel found that John had HIV, and she was going to leave him.
What? HIV?
Yeah, she was worried that she had it too, but her test came back negative. I wonder what made her change her mind. Maybe...
What?
Well, when my brother told me he had HIV, he gave me a book. Said it would help us talk. You remember. The title was Your Neighbor Has AIDS.
Oh yeah, I read that too.
And when Rachel told me about John, I asked her not to make any decisions until she'd read it.
That was smart. That book helped you and your brother.
Yeah, and what I learned helped me talk with Mom, too.
You think that made a difference for them?
I'd bet money on it, and you know I'm not a betting woman.
But you are a great sis and good friend.
Your Neighbor Has AIDS by Deborah E. Lake is available at DeborahELake.com, Amazon.com, and select bookstores.
Okay, so we are back, and we're talking about Valentine's Day, and just what does it mean to you? As an individual, as a couple?
Well, for me, it hasn't meant a lot to me as, you know, an individual. When I was in school, of course, we exchanged Valentines. But as a couple, for Barbara and I think it just means a time to reflect on, I don't think, I know, it means, a time to reflect on the time that we've spent together, what we mean to each other, and rekindle that commitment. You know, I mean, we do that on our anniversary, too, but that's kind of what this day means, a time to get away and maybe just spend a little time, quiet time with each other.
You have any thoughts, Krishna?
It's interesting because for us, it was, you know, an important day that we, you know, got gifts for each other and flowers and things like that for, I think, maybe the first couple of years. But after that, We invest in our relationship, I would say, on a weekly, monthly basis. So we spend quality time together in the good weather here. We take walks with each other. Don't sit in front of the TV and watch TV while eating dinner. And things like that. So, and you know, every once in a while, just doing the spontaneous I love you card or note or just saying it in person every day is just kind of, I think, Valentine's Day.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think turns some people off in doing this series, I have run across some people that say, I hate Valentine's Day. I really don't like it. And it doesn't matter if they're with someone or not. I don't think that determines how we feel about Valentine's Day. But it's been so commercialized. And the commercials are everywhere, the whole month just about. And I think that turns people off. So I think the fact that both of you are focusing on the fact that, you do Valentine's Day all through the year is
mm-hmm.
important. I think that's important. Because Valentine's Day can just be one day when you really acknowledge it, but acknowledge what you do all through the year. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I kind of always say, why can't we treat each other like we do at Christmas all the time? That's kind of one of the things that I say. So it kind of goes along with these kind of holidays. If we just treat each other with respect and love and dignity like we want to be treated, it goes a long way, you know, even if it's outside of a relationship like what Barbara and I have,
mm-hmm.
just with people in general, I think.
Well, here's something I want to ask. What is the funniest story you can tell that you and your partner had, did together, or experienced? Something that you still laugh about years later that you can share with us, that you're comfortable with? I can think of one when I was, I'm single now, but when I was with my partner, there was one, I had a cowboy hat that I was very happy to have. I had had it for a long time, and she hadn't seen me in it, and I put it on, and I was really proud of my hat. I said, see, this is my hat that I wear, and she just fell out laughing. It was hilarious to her. And I didn't get the joke. And for years later, I bet if I saw her now, I could say cowboy hat and she would laugh. So that's the kind of thing that I'm thinking about.
Well, there's I have kind of a goofy sense of humor, but Barbara and I usually laugh pretty hard about something every day, but usually what is funny to us probably wouldn't be funny to you. because it's our stupid sense of humor. But Barbara tends to take things really, really literally. And the thing that made me laugh the hardest that I can, it still makes me laugh, I'm starting to laugh when I think about it, is, you know what a raspberry is, right? How you make
yeah.
the,
uh-huh.
okay, well, she can't do it. But I used to go around saying Sylvester with a raspberry, Sylvester, which makes her still laugh today. So we were driving down, we were driving down to her mom's house from where we live, which takes about 45 minutes. And I was doing Sylvester in the car, and she said, how do you do that, Nancy? I said, you do a raspberry. Honey, you make a raspberry. She turned to me, and she goes, raspberry. She didn't do like that. She just did raspberry. And to me, that was one of the funniest things I had ever heard. And it was like 10 years ago when she did this. It was probably probably the first year that we were together, and it still makes me laugh. But that's kind of what, you know, to me, that was
mm-hmm.
really funny. It still is. So.
Oh, well, me and my partner, and that's laughter, I think, was one of the really key things that made me fall in love with him, was that he made me laugh.
Mm.
And that was,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how many times I would say that to people.
Mm.
I met someone, and da-da-da-da-da, and I hadn't been with someone for so long. So they're excited for me, but the important, that laughter to me is just really important.
Hmm.
If you can make each other laugh, then, you know, especially in an intense situation, if you can break out the humor to kind of relieve the tension, it's great.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think it's going to have to be the bam, bam, bam. I was watching squirrels at my old house. One squirrel was chasing the other squirrel across the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And they went over the fence. I didn't see them. They came back, and they were connected. They were mating.
Oh, okay.
they stopped in midway on the fence, and the male just started... You know, just
mm-hmm.
The best way I could describe it offhand was bam, 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 bam. And And I'd never seen that. I thought it was just so funny. And I was on the phone with my sister at the time and was telling her, oh, my God, I can't believe this. So, of course, me, I'm outgoing, and sometimes I don't shut my mouth when I should. And I told his parents about the whole thing. And I did the bam, bam, bam thing. Bamming my fist into my hand, and I,
I hope your in-laws had a sense of humor anyway. I don't think I've ever seen two squirrels bamming. In fact, I know I haven't. But I can picture it, and they're so small. You have bam, bam, bam. It's done. That sounds perfect. Oh, God, that's funny. Yeah. So one of the things that we talk about in relationships is being able to laugh. That's a connection that you have with people. And going back to that article, that's one of the things that they said, if you aren't laughing together, you might want to take some time to spend some time together. So, you know, you guys are really giving some good advice to people over your relationship as well. So,
well, we try not to take myself too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be pretty intense. I'm kind of out there with, like Christian is, and if I take myself too seriously, then I lose my sense of humor. And usually when I am taking myself too seriously is exactly when I turn my sense of humor on myself. And it really does help. I mean, you know, humor gets us through a lot. And as we all know, being gay sometimes can be a challenge.
That's the next thing we're going to talk about a little bit of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be. And that's a good segue into the next thing I want to ask you about as far as your relationships. You know, there's been a lot of discussion over the years, but especially now, about gay marriage and don't ask, don't tell, and whether or not marriage is between a man and a woman or two men, two women, and a man and a woman or whatever. How does knowing that there are people who just will not recognize your relationships, how does that affect you as a person and as a couple? And the reason I'm asking is not to bring you down or anything, but I want this to be an opportunity, because I have people who are straight and gay and all kinds of people who listen to the show, to be an opportunity to put some feeling and a story behind some of their maybe resistance. You know what I mean?
Well, for me, I have relatives. I have a brother who thinks that, you know, gays want special privileges when we ask for marriage, which is, I don't understand that, number one. And depending on where he is, and sometimes we can talk about it, most often not. And a good example of that is the gay marriage thing is I'm on Facebook, and one of my classmates is a far-right Christian and said, are my eyes deceiving me? How can Christians defend the gays, you know, right to marriage? And for me, it's hurtful that somebody would say that and not recognize that we're human beings. And if you're truly a Christian, how could you make that kind of a judgment on anyone? I don't necessarily believe in God, but I don't believe anybody's up there sitting making a judgment on what's right or wrong. Who cares? You know, and so I want the ability to be able to go see my partner, whether it's gay marriage in Washington State, our governor passed the domestic partner law, which the far right is going after. I want the right to be able to go into the hospital and see my partner if she's dying or I'm sick. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand it. It's hurtful and bewildering to me how people can think that we want special privileges because we want you know, the right to be able to live with the person who we love. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts, Christian?
Well, it's interesting because I'm publishing Oregon's first gay and lesbian magazine.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, wow. Good for
you.
Yeah.
It's called ID Magazine.
Pardon me? What is it?
ID Magazine.
ID?
The letter I and the letter D. ID Magazine.
Okay. Send me some information about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's the website's idmagazineor.com, and OR is for Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue that we're going to be launching tomorrow online is our gay marriage issue,
mm-hmm.
and where Oregon is headed as far as repealing the anti-gay marriage amendment that was put into the Constitution of Oregon,
yeah.
2004, I believe, in November of 2004. And the stories, I interviewed three couples, and the stories that I heard from them were just incredible. And the way that in 2012, there's going to be a campaign to, or a ballot measure to repeal that amendment,
mm-hmm.
So that we can have marriage equality. And the Basic Rights Oregon is the nonprofit that's kind of heading that up or spearheading that, and they're approaching it as have as many one-on-one conversations as you possibly can
mm-hmm.
with as many people as you can
mm-hmm.
and discuss the topic with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even though it might take you out of your comfort zone because whoever it is, your brother, your uncle, you know, they may have very differing views, but if you at least start the conversation,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and you may not come away, you know, rainbows and butterflies, but you would give them something to think about.
Mm.
And
don't you think it puts a human face on the whole issue, because so many people tend to look at gays and lesbians as non-humans.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
So when I look at myself, probably you guys do too, as a sort of an ambassador to the fact that gays and lesbians are human beings, and we care and we bleed and we love
mm-hmm.
the same as they do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, and the three couples that I talked to, one actually got their marriage certificate when it was legal to do that here in Portland, and the other two did it regardless
mm.
of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And just having the marriage ceremony itself changed so many hearts and minds with their mm-hmm. friends and family.
Yeah.
I mean, just the ceremony itself.
Yeah.
And, you know, just being able to do that and to put those stories out there and hopefully, you know, stir the conversations and help really get this, win the hearts and minds of the Oregon voters.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, one of the things that I have found is that, blatant bigotry aside, and most of us aren't that, but some are, so you have to put that little pocket over there and say, okay, you guys go over there and play with yourself. But for the most part, people, once they realize that it's not about specialness, it's not about wanting anything other than equality, they, well, I don't have a problem with that. That's the response. I don't have a problem
mm-hmm.
with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that the one-on-one conversation, it, as difficult as it is, and as unfair as it is for us to have to do that,
mm-hmm.
it's the only way it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. This, when I posted on my Facebook page, there was something circulating on Facebook. I bet I can find a million people who support same-sex marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And what amazed me, and this was so wonderful, were the amount of people. These are Christians, and
mm-hmm.
you know, we can all go, oh my God, Christians. And I try not to, you know, put a judgment on them because I don't like to be judged. But my experience has been they can be kind of dogmatic. Well, there were some really lovely posts from people that were condemning. Christians that were condemning this other gentleman who said, you know, the God-fearing Christians are going to ruin our society by allowing gays to marry, which is, you know, that's ridiculous. But the upshot was that because I'm so out there about it and not in an in-your-face way, but this is my partner who I love and they know me,
mm-hmm.
it puts a face on it, a human face on it. And it's, the response has been really gratifying and uplifting and supportive. Mm-hmm. It's really, it's been a good thing for me to do personally.
Yeah, and it's empowering too, isn't it?
Very.
It's like
very empowering. I don't feel ashamed.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I urge people to go to it's marriagematters.org, and do a video, of yourself or your partner of why marriage matters to you.
Uh-huh.
And upload it to that website or their YouTube channel, and because they're trying to get as many people as possible to do this.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it does. It puts the face to the issue, and just takes away the kind of the whole. And that's another thing I really talked to these couples about was, do you see it as a human rights issue, or do you see it as some sort of religious kind of thing? And everyone that I come across says it's a human rights issue, and the religious part is totally separate from it.
It is, and that's one of the things I did. Part of what I'm doing with this series is I'm having the other half of it, which is the legal, talking about the legal aspects of gay marriage, and why does it matter? And one of the things that one of the lawyers, David Pizarro, he said that it's a civil rights thing. It's not about religion. And the more we can separate those two things in conversations with people, the better off we'll be, I think, because that undermines the rights argument that they're going to come in and tell us what to do in our churches, you know?
Yeah.
Well, there's in the civil rights movement, I mean, this is what I don't understand. Anybody of color, once upon a time, if you look back, it was considered sinful, or that black people were subhuman from the religious right. They didn't deserve to vote, or women were the property of men. So it's kind of like we're the last frontier of who deserves civil rights. And they tend to, I don't know, from my perspective, they tend to throw the church in there. It has nothing to do with religion. It's basic human rights and dignity for everybody. And me,
But it's been so intertwined with religion.
Yes.
And
well, that's because
that's
religion
been to our detriment, I think.
Religion has been extremely powerful, very powerful force in politics.
Mm-hmm.
And if you followed any of the Prop 8 federal court case that's recently going on, the Mormon Church was found to be very, very entrenched into that campaign.
Yes.
And in so much so that it's possible that they could have their tax exemption taken away.
That's
wow.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I read that.
You know, it
wow.
So the whole, you know, and this was what was so great about Basic Rights Oregon starting this campaign in Oregon was that, and that was my main concern was, you know, how are you going to flip the religious aspect on its ear and approach it from, you know, the human rights angle? And she said, well, but that's why we're having the one-on-one conversations.
Yeah.
Because, you know, religion is very separate. The law or the ballot measure and what will become law if it's passed, the churches can turn somebody away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, it's
exactly.
Just like if a Jewish couple comes to a Catholic church and says, we want to be married here, they can legally say, I'm sorry, we can't do that.
Exactly.
And it'll be the same way with gay marriage.
Exactly. And that's what gets lost in the emotions of the arguments and the fights that are going on now. That information gets lost. The church is already say who they're going to marry and who they're not going to marry. Catholics don't marry other Catholics or non-Catholics. They don't marry Catholics who've been divorced. They don't, you know, a lot of different things. And they're already putting limits on marriage now. So that wouldn't change. That wouldn't change.
Yeah.
You know? And that gets lost in the conversation, I think. So I think you guys are smart to do the one-on-one thing. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? We're getting a little short on time, and what I usually do with my guests is ask you if there's some kind of what kind of business are you in, or Do you have a nonprofit that you'd like for people to know about? So here we are. We're at that point.
I am a lifestyle and wellness coach.
Okay.
It's not nonprofit, and that's I help people find best health with the foods they eat, and certainly, you know, working with gay people who are going through this kind of their self-esteem being hammered. I can help them feel better, at least from the standpoint of what they put in their bodies. But I don't have a nonprofit or something that long.
Well, it doesn't have to be a nonprofit. It's for profit, whatever. You know.
That's what I do. That's
yeah.
what I have a website.
www.nancygerominski.com.
They go to my website, and it's www.nancygerominski.com. That's where they can find all the contact information if they care to get in touch with me.
Okay. What about you, Kristen? Anything?
I would just say ID Magazine. IDMagazineOR.com.
I'm gonna look that up. I wanna check that out. Both of them. Actually, I went to your website, Nancy. Yeah.
You have been to my website.
Yes,
yeah.
I have. Yeah. So good. I'm sorry, Kristen. Go ahead.
That's been my baby for almost a year, and I think this is about the time where we're going to turn the corner as far as exposure and promotion and whatnot. So,
great.
It's going to be an interesting year, that's for sure.
That's great. Well, you guys both are doing some great work, and I really do appreciate you being here talking with us and sharing your information with our listeners. And I wish you...
Thank you for having us.
All success.
Yes, thank you.
In your relationships and in your lives, your businesses and everything. I wish you all well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Same for you.
Have a good night.
All right.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye.
That's it for today. That's all I have. Thanks for listening, and thanks for telling your friends and colleagues about us. All the Way In is getting more and more popular, and that's because of you. Thank you. This is All the Way In Radio, and we record live and uncensored. I'm Deborah E. Lake, here to let you know that you can recognize, claim, and live fully in your life. Until next time, world. Connected, visit DeborahELake.com. And while you're there, sign up to follow on Twitter and Facebook. You'll also be able to download previously recorded programs. And sign up to become a member and get your edition of the brand new All the Way In newsletter. Members also have access to follow-up broadcasts and special discounts. Remember that you can take All the Way In wherever you go through iTunes. If you have any questions or comments, send an email to allthewayin@deborahelake.com. I'd love to hear from you. All the Way In is a production of Lake Enterprise.